Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. Our guest today is Ken Gronbach. He is the author of Upside, Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. Ken, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, my friend. Glad to be here.
No, it is. It's great to have you on. And you know, demographics is a great conversation. I've been to many conferences when, of course, we could do conferences. And one of the things that's always fascinated me is demographics, because it is a very interesting topic. And I know today we're going to be talking about why it's important to HR, why it's important to business leaders, and why it's important just in general. But how long have you been doing this? How long has this had interest for you? Tell me a little bit about that.
I had an advertising agency in Connecticut for about 20 years, and we lost one of our major clients, American Honda Motorcycles. Never could figure out why. We had 130 dealers, and all of a sudden in 1986, the motorcycle dealers, it was like somebody turned a faucet off, and the motorcycles, the Japanese brand, stopped selling. And we beat our brains out until 1992, coming up with new concepts, new marketing, new products, everything, and nothing could save the dealers. We closed them all. By 1996, I was reading the Hartford Courant newspaper, and there was an indictment on the editorial page of Generation X, born 1965 to 1984. It seemed that Generation X was not filling the shoes of the exiting baby boomers in any realm. And they were called lazy, slackers, couch potatoes. And at the time, I had 40 people working for me, and 30 of them were Generation Xers, born 65 to 84, and I didn't have any lazy people, so it didn't make any sense. So I sent our research department to work, and I said, go find out everything you can about Generation X. And they came back and said, Generation X will never perform at the level of the boomers. So I said, so they're lazy. And they said, no, Ken, there's fewer of them. Fewer of them. And I said, 20-year generation against a 20-year generation is fewer of them? What are you talking about? And they said, yeah, there were fewer born. There are 69 million Generation Xers against roughly 80 million baby boomers born in the same 20 years. Baby boomers were born 45 to 64. Xers were born 65 to 84. So I said, you mean we have a hole in our population? And they said, yes. I said, I think we just discovered what happened to motorcycles, because I always wanted to know that. Men 16 to 24 bought motorcycles, the Japanese brands. And once that demo, the baby boomers exited that demo, there wasn't sufficient critical mass in the market to sustain it. And it erased motorcycles. And I said, that can't be the only thing they've done. And we went back and looked, and Generation X shut down maternity wards. They shut down the toy industry. They shut down about 30% of the public schools. They shut down motorcycles, the automobile industry. And in 2008, they shut down housing. So how's that?
Well, that certainly tells us enough about that, right? And then, of course,
am I talking too much?
No, but they ended up having an awful lot of babies, because here we're back in Generation Y, which is pretty darn big group.
No, Generation X are not the parents of Generation Y for the most part. Baby boomers are. Big generations beget big generations. 80 million baby boomers beget 88 million Generation Y millennials. Now, I know there's some overlap, but for the most part, you have to remember, you're talking to a demographer, big picture, 30,000 feet, macro, long term.
That's interesting. And so what do you think, as you look at today, 2021, what are some of the things that you're seeing initially that affect HR? Certainly nobody predicted the pandemic, But what do you think are some of the things that they need to be looking at in 2022, 2023, or even today, 2021?
Yeah, well, you know, I just wrote this treatise for a marketing publication about the importance of a chief human resource officer and how a chief human resource officer should outweigh the importance of a chief financial officer. Well, what does that mean? That means that right now, David, we're looking down the barrel of three generations in the workplace. You have a sea of millennials that are entering the labor force finally. You have baby boomers that are going, after this pandemic is over, are going to leave the labor force like lemmings. And in between the baby boomers and Generation Y millennials is a small generation, as I've mentioned earlier, of Generation X. So there are going to be challenges. Three generations in the workforce, a whole new group of labor and talent and millennials, and how in the world are we going to manage them? But it's going to be fun.
To your words on fun, your definition of fun and mine are slightly different, but that's fine.
Yeah, true.
Just slightly different. You know, obviously, I'm talking to a demographer, and so I want to define a little bit for the audience, because people have heard about the different generations. There are different dates out there. I mean, I was online just looking and doing some research on this. There are statements of different dates, what these generations are. Clarify it for today's discussion.
Well, what you have to realize is a lot of people think they know demography, but what they're really talking about is psychographics, not demographics. They pretend that they're able to delineate generations. You know, one generation is 13 years long, and one generation is 9 years long, and one generation is 25 years. It's all nonsense. Census data and history dictate how big generations are, and generations are 20 years. And so if we go back to the baby boomers' parents were born 1905 to 1924, the silent generation following them was tiny, and they were born 25 to 44. Baby boomers were born 45 to 64. Generation X was born 65 to 84, and millennials were born 85 to 2004. 20-year generations, or you can't compare them. Because it's nonsense to compare the critical mass of one generation to another if you limit the number of years in the generation. No, those are the generations. That's what we use, and that's what's standard.
So Z, as we know, would be 2005 to 2024. Is that correct?
They're not done yet. Yep, exactly.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. All right. So for the sake of our discussions today, those are at least the parameters that we're talking about so that the audience understands where you're coming from. And again, we're talking today with Kent Grombach. He is the author of the book, Upside: Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. And of course, this is HR Educational Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're having some good times already, having a talk about, you know, demographics. You know, Ken, COVID-19, the pandemic, is certainly going to influence world demographics overall. What do you think, to what degree that's going to make a shift happen?
Very little. And don't get me wrong, David. I'm stricken and sad by what's going on. And I know that I believe we just crested 2 million people that have died. But if you look at the total number of people that die in the world, the COVID deaths will account for about 3%. And that's not a number that changes things. It just doesn't. There are some unfortunate things about the COVID virus. One, it seems to focus on elderly people with pre-existing conditions. In the United States, about a third of the people that have died have been people in assisted living or rest homes or the like. It is not going to be a game changer, and it is not going to change our economy. It's not going to change really anything. Again, once we're all inoculated and once we put it behind us, we're going to be fine.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good news. I look at that as a win from the standpoint, if you just talk about the fact that it's, you know, it's not going to have a huge long lasting impact. But you know, if I flip back a little bit to from an HR perspective, you know, people are finding they're having a really hard time finding talent. You know, the U.S. has you can tell me a little about the demographics of the country or demographics of the Northeast, whatever works. But the bottom line here at the end of the day is there is a challenge getting talent. And does that have anything to do with demographics, or is it just the fact that that's education or other factors involved?
No, it's critical mass. The talent shortage, and I think if you are talking talent, you're talking about, you know, skilled people for technical jobs or management people in middle or upper management. Let's just use that as an example. You're talking about Generation X, and Generation X is small. The people in Generation X right now are 36 to 54 years old. The generation right behind them, the millennials, are about 20 million people bigger. So the talent pool that is going to be available to HR going forward is going to be the largest talent pool in the history of the United States. Why are we not sensing that now? Well, it's because Generation Y millennials are only just now, and it's been late. They're late. And the reason they're late is their baby boomer parents have not exited the labor force the way that history would dictate, because baby boomers do not have dying on their punch list. So they're hanging out, and the housing crisis, of course, had a large factor in dealing with the baby boomers staying in the labor force. But the baby boomers are leaving the labor force, and what will happen now is HR is going to be challenged with finding the best and brightest in the millennial generation, keeping in mind that the millennial generation is the largest generation ever to enter the labor force. I get asked all the time, how in the world do you hire a millennial? And my answer to that is, what you do is you hire an A player. I mean, I do mean that, an A player millennial for HR, and then have your A player players hire the millennials for you. Don't try to do it yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. And certainly, I think that there's no question employers would like to hire A players all the time. I mean, I've never seen an employer go, I'd like to have a substandard person. Yeah, let's just take that. I mean, that's just right in terms of making that happen. The other factor that plays into this, of course, is innovation, automation, and other ways that go in that. How is that going to play into it within the demographic shift?
Well, technology, here's the bit. My daughter was married about 2 years ago, and I wanted her to marry Tim Tebow. And I was trying to set that up. And and she's a drop dead gorgeous girl. And, you know, maybe with my connections, I could do something. So she comes home and she says, Kyle, her boyfriend, asked her to marry her. And she accepted. And I said, what does Kyle do? And she said, well, he works in a factory. I said, is he educated? She said, yes, he is. He has a degree in IT. And I said, what's he doing in the factory? And she said, I'm not sure, Dad. I said, how much does he make? And she told me, and I said, that will probably cover your cosmetics. So Kyle came to me and asked me for her hand. And of course, I loved him immediately. He's a charming man. And I'm envisioning, I'm a hot rodder. I like to go hunting. I start discussing this with Kyle. And I said, Kyle, what are your hobbies? And he said, video games. I said, my life is over. And they get married. My wife prevails upon him to, in Connecticut, to go up to Travelers Insurance and apply for work in IT. They hire him immediately. They grab him by the legs. They double his salary over what he was making in the factory. I noticed Kyle doesn't go to work very often. And when he does, he goes in shorts and t-shirts, and I said, Kyle, what's going on? He said, well, they put me in a special geek group, and they gave us a task to figure out why Travelers Insurance lost so much money in the California fires and how to prevent that from happening again. And I said, and you can do that? And he said, yeah. What he did is he came up with an app on a phone that literally the agents in the field could take a picture of a house and enter some information and literally tell the Travelers folks whether they should insure the house or not. And Kyle got a patent in his name. Now, he didn't get the money for it, but he got a patent in his name for doing that. What's my point here is that you have in terms of technology and in terms of innovation and in terms of the Internet of Things, Generation Y is going to set the standard. They can multitask, they can do five things at once. I can't do one thing at once. Yeah. So I think the future here for HR is millennials.
You know, one of the other things that comes to play in this, and we're going to talk about that in the next section, is the fact that there are global parts to this conversation. There are other countries playing in this. And we're going to talk about that when we return. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetti.
And I'm Pete McVetti from McVetti's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Wow, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one, and we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetti's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. Our guest today is Ken Gronbach, and he is the author of Upside: Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. You know, now that we in the first section, Ken learned about that you have your daughter got married and that that you're using the demographics in a different way to try to help him, we'll go into some discussions a little bit about the fact of we talked a little bit again about the United States and the demographics there and how many people are coming into the workforce, even though we don't feel it. Tell me a little bit about the global demographics and how that's going to affect with the workforce here in the U.S. as well, because that is a piece of the puzzle that we don't always talk about.
Yeah, I can't tell you how important it is, David, because just to give you an example, a Generation Y was born 1985 to 2004. They are the generation that is going to be both the monster talent pool and the headaches for anybody in HR going forward in the United States. In Canada, they don't have a Generation Y. Their Generation Y is diminutive, which means they're going to run out of talent. And that's a problem. And I don't know what they're going to do about it. Let's go to the EU, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, all of the nations there, with the exception of Poland. It's not having kids. There is this concept in demography called replacement level fertility. Replacement level fertility is about 2.2 kids per couple. In France, for instance, they're having one child per couple, and the indigenous French people. So what happened, and this is this happens as a result, France has not been having kids for 20 or 30 years, which means they had to import their labor. They imported their labor from North Africa. The labor that came in from North Africa is Muslim, and the Muslim culture and the Western culture are antithetical. They're opposite. The Muslims are having six children, and the indigenous people are having one child. So what kind of labor are they going to have? Well, first of all, the complexion of the EU is going to change, and it is changing, even in Germany. And it's simply a product of who is having kids. Eastern Europe, same problem, very, very few children. Russia, population of Russia. The population of Russia is old and sick. And incidentally, as I understand it, so is Vladimir Putin. He's sick and will probably be leaving office in about a year. That's a problem. And if you can't bring in immigrants and you're not having children, you're going to have issues. Let's go to Asia. There's 4 billion people in Asia. Let's take a look at the replica of the U.S. Republic, and that is South Korea. They're having one child per couple, and they are not bringing in immigrants. Simply, South Korea cannot exist in 2050 because they will have no taxpayers. China has a one-child-only policy that was in force for about 37 years. So their labor force is shrinking. It started shrinking a couple of years ago. Is that a problem? It's a huge, huge problem for Asia. Japan, no children, no relations, not even marriages, which is weird. What's going to happen to Japan? Well, you can't keep your country intact if you don't have kids. So how does that position the United States? The United States and the Americas in general are in very, very good shape, especially Mexico. Mexico has perfect demography. It's just that they don't have a government. So that's an encapsulation of the world. How did I do?
No, that's good. I mean, it's interesting. So would it be too much to say that the U.S. could be supplying talent to the rest of the world in some aspect once it takes care of its own?
No, it will not be too much to say. And it bodes so well for the United States that the next 20, 30 years are going to probably, we're probably going to have an economy. And there's a reason for that too, that we don't understand. It's going to be so good. And we will drive the world. In fact, people say, how in the world through this COVID issue and all the political turmoil that we have in the United States is the economy still so good? And my answer to that is housing. Housing is, in 2008, we had a problem. We had too many houses and too few buyers. In 2021, we have too many buyers and too few houses. We're over the next 10 years, we're about 25 million housing units short of our need. So housing is going to drive the economy, and Generation Y and then Generation Z is going to drive everything else. They're starting households, they're buying vacuum cleaners, they're buying automobiles. We are in very, very good shape here in the States.
That's very fascinating. And I think that the biggest question that, you know, obviously people are asking right now is, how long till we see it, right? Because in this particular case, if you look at, as I said, people are struggling to find talent. Are we talking a year, 2 years, 5 years before it really starts showing up and HR is noticing the difference?
You will notice the difference in 2021, period.
It's that soon.
Yeah, absolutely, positively, no question. You see, what HR has to do, and this is going to be the issue, and this is why I am advocating a chief human resource officer. And I'm telling companies, I said, listen, if you don't have a chief human resource officer and a chief marketing officer, you don't need any of the other chiefs because they will be so essential. You need to hire these young people. You need to stop calling them names and bring them into your organization and figure out how to manage them. Stop trying to fight over the people who you think have the talent. And that's Generation X that is currently 36 to 54 years old, because that's who we're fighting over now. There simply are not enough of them to fill the void left by the exiting boomers. Exiting boomers are 56 to 75 years old right now. You only have about 40 million of them left in the labor force, but they're leaving, and they're going to leave like lemmings after the COVID thing is over. So HR, you're going to have to look to young people. So that, what does that mean? That means you're going to bring in managers and talent that's 25, 30, 35 years old that are literally going to be managers of people in their 50s and 60s. And that's going to be tough.
Okay, so HR very clearly is going to become, if they're not already, as they certainly have, will tell you this year, a very integral part of hiring and managing that talent. And certainly this year they've become very integral in compliance and compensation and dealing right. with the pandemic. No question about all that. And I'll also argue IT has become even more essential because we've had to, you know, go home and do all those things that we typically do. When you're looking at it from a demographic perspective, is there anything that could stop the train? Is there anything that would create a seismic shift? Or is there anything that we need to be careful of to make sure it doesn't, you know, mess up the progress we're talking about?
Yeah. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is... you would have to know that as a demographer, I am so in favor of diversity that it spills over. We have a problem in the United States, a serious problem, and it is going to be just one more of the challenges for the chief human resource officer. What do I mean by that? I have a colleague, and I encourage people to read this book. My colleague is Dr. Nicholas Eberstadt, nice German name, PhD Harvard, works for the State Department and also works for the American Enterprise Institute. He's a political economist. He's brilliant. He wrote a book called Men Without Work. If there was ever, David, something that could throw a wrench into this, is if we don't address this issue of the men without work. Let me explain. Between the ages of 25 and 55, there are about 60 million men in the United States, 60 million. One third of those, 20 million, do not work. They watch TV, according to State Department information, they watch TV. That's what they do. Why? Because they're felons, and they can't be bonded, and they can't find jobs. So they've fallen off of the rolls. They don't even show up in our unemployment numbers. They can't, because they're not looking for work. Of the 20 million men that can't work, don't work, out of the 60, 10 million of them are African American. The number of African Americans in the United States is roughly 40 million. The number of men that are African Americans is roughly 20 million. The number of African American men that are 25 to 55 is roughly 10 million. And why we do not address this? I speak to business and industry all the time, and I tell them, folks, if we don't take Black Lives Matter seriously and address it and deal with it, Black Lives Matter is going to deal with us, and not out of any anger or hostility. It's just war on drugs has precipitated this. We need to put these men back to work, back into positions where they can have dignity and make a living, or shame on us.
Do you think that there is an appetite in the current environment to address that in the way that really needs to be done?
Yes. I think Biden's going to do it. Now, I'm a Republican. I'm to the front. And But I would pray that Biden and his folks will finally address this issue that has been swept under the rug. So we'll see.
You never know what an administration is going to do. That is always the case. And you also never know what we'll get through Congress. So those are one of the challenges, as we all know, in terms of it. So let's back up for just a minute about one more thing about the demographics. And I'd like to get into the into your book and talk a little bit about that specifically. Do you see in the coming 10 years, in terms you say that HR is going to be so important, there's going to be plenty of people, and that we're going to have, you know, have a good run going forward. Do you think that the talent and skill being produced by, you know, colleges, universities, trades is enough to sustain it, or is there still a gap in that area?
No, I think it's plenty. I think it's, there's plenty to sustain it. One thing that we are seeing, David, is that the enrollment in colleges, like four-year schools, is very heavily female and not male. It's probably like 65-35. And the reason for that is the Generation Y millennial men are taking the jobs that baby boomers are leaving behind. And those are the technical jobs like heating, ventilation, air conditioning, electricians, plumbers, IT, and the like, that don't require a four-year college education. But in terms of the availability and the education of the talent necessary to run this great country, there's plenty.
Now, it's interesting. I've had many conversations with people on the air, or also just in general in my practice, where we are hearing that there are a lot of schools and colleges that are potentially getting ready to close.
Yes.
And that you're certainly seeing that potentially, if you listen to some of the predictions, anywhere from 20 to 30% of colleges, universities could be closed in the next 5 years.
Yes.
And are you seeing that? Because we're also seeing the fact that obviously there's a large population still available to go to school.
Yes and no. I believe that a lot of the reason that schools are going to close, and this could be something that's an aggregate of COVID-19. But in addition to that, I'm a firm believer, David, in the market. I'm a firm believer that the market dictates what's going to happen. And if these schools are having a hard time finding students, it's because things have changed and they didn't. So I believe that the market will dictate what's next and will dictate the best for us.
And you've heard it from Ken. And we're talking to you from the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and also Verrill-Law.com. And you're listening to us on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
We asked kids what it took to be a dad. This is what they had to say.
A father is always present. I mean, what real father figure can you have if they're not there?
In order to be a good dad, you need to love your son. You need to put gas in your car so you don't break down in the middle of nowhere. And you need to make them breakfast. Yep.
I mean, just to maybe play like a board game with me, or to just stay home and play some video games with me. Just to do like that one little thing is what I really look forward to.
I'm not asking him to be a perfect dad, but he should try.
He's just a constant force in my life.
There's no other type of love like a dad's love, because it's not comparable to anything else.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of Untuckit. We started Untuckit because we couldn't find shirts that look good untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt, so guys can look sharp and feel casual. UNTUCKit shirts fall at just the right length. We have 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can look great in UNTUCKit shirts. Try the original UNTUCKit shirt at one of our 55 UNTUCKit stores or at UNTUCKit.com.
Use the promo code FALL for 20% off your first purchase.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And you're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Farrell-Law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. We're talking with Ken Gronbach. And it is Gronbach. I want to make sure I'm saying this correct, Ken. Correct, Gronbach?
You can't make a mistake. The whole family pronounces it different.
Well, we'll go with Gronbach. He is the author of the book, Upside, Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. Let's talk about that book, Ken. Why did you write the book?
Well, people think you're smart if you write a book. So I wanted them to think I was smart. You know, I actually wrote a book in... 2005, one in 2008, one in 2011, and this one in 2017. And things in demography change. And demographers, you know, unlike economists, are generally accurate. You know, economists, the accepted number is like 20% accurate. And the demographer is about 80%. So when something, I keep on writing books, because I want to fix some of my forecasts and make sure that I'm staying accurate.
And so is this your second, third book? Tell us a little bit about your book history.
It's fourth book. And you know what happens? I'll be straight with you. I speak, and I speak at conferences. Of course, I haven't spoken at a lot of conferences in 2020, but I speak at conferences as a keynote. And one of the things that's very, very helpful when you speak is to have your work supported by a publication or, you know, your own published work. So, and people buy it. I mean, go figure.
Yeah, no, of course they do. Yeah. So, you know, when you're looking to say, hey, why should somebody buy this book? What is it that is, you know, the takeaway for the reason to purchase it?
Well, lots of reasons, actually. One of them is if you're a business that does work in the United States and internationally, you can pretty much determine how your business is going to go if your primary market is in Illinois or your primary market is in Maine. Can you imagine? Because we break down every single state and forecast what's going to happen to the critical mass within that state. Are you losing millennials? Because if you're losing millennials, you have a problem. If you're losing baby boomers, that's pretty predictable. If you are going to, for instance, we had pick a company that builds $10 million buildings, and the type of building that they build mostly are automobile dealerships. And so if they read the book, they would know the best places to build their dealerships. From a political standpoint, you would know where populations are going to go. You would know where the conservatives are going to live. You would know where the liberals are going to come of age to vote. We are making amazing forecasts about Florida, amazing forecasts about Texas. And Texas apparently will be liberal here at some point. About Utah. Is it all? You know why Utah is, the demography of Utah is so good?
I have no idea.
LDS, Latter-day Saints, Mormons, they have big families and they're wonderful. We also are forecasting great things for Oregon and the state of Washington. California, not so much. And this kind of a bailout of California. So what I'm saying is if somebody wanted to understand markets and what was going to happen next, what was going to happen with Mexico, what was going to happen with Central and South America, how is Venezuela going to do? Should they be building a new factory? And this isn't this happened to me. I was speaking to a huge, and I mean huge, international truck manufacturer that also manufactures cars. And I was speaking at a conference of about 500 people. And one of the things that came up in my presentation was I would dissuade them from doing long-term business with China. And at the end of my presentation, a little later on, they had a stand-up meeting. And by stand-up meeting, is key people all came together in a meeting where everyone stood. And they put me in the center of it. And a top-level person said, "Do we believe this guy?" And people said, "Yeah, it makes sense." You know, he said, "Well, guess what? We're not building a plant, a manufacturing plant in China. So now I can't go to China." And I can't, and I won't.
Well, you know, hey, maybe that's your call, right? In terms of that, but I certainly understand it. You know, it's a fascinating conversation because I don't think people think this way. You know, I don't think people look at things and determine that demographics, they hear it, they talk a little bit about it. We certainly don't get taught this in school. There's no question about that.
I ask my audiences, I say, what is the most important marketing question that you can ask? You're in the business of selling something, a good or service. What's the most important question that you can ask of yourself? And I get all kinds of answers, and they're all over the place. And I say, do you know what the answer is? Is how big is my end user market, and is it getting bigger or smaller? Because if my end user market is getting smaller, I have a problem. My end user market is getting bigger, I have an opportunity. And I can make more money. So, and I'm telling you, David, people do not think that way. They simply don't. Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels. Quick story?
Sure.
Yeah, Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels. Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels sales nosedived. It's down about 25%. It actually has gone up since the pandemic because toys sold well during the pandemic. And they are currently in particular now, they are on four CEOs in 6 years. That's not good. Why isn't it good? Well, the CEOs are not turning Mattel around. Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels are still not selling. What is the problem? And so the most recent CEO is saying, because kids have more of an interest in their tablets and their iPhones than they do toys. And that's the problem. So we need to compete at that level. You know what the real reason is? There's 25% fewer kids under 10. And why didn't anybody think of that?
Yeah, why wouldn't you think about that? That's right. That's right.
They didn't. And that happens literally all the time. I don't know why. And people, and when I tell people, and when I'm brought into a company and they say, these sales are doing well and this sale is not doing, and I say, are you aware of your end user customer for those respective products? And they said, well, we haven't thought about that. I said, what do you mean you haven't thought about that? Are you crazy? That is the reason. And it is.
No, and it should be. And it should be thought of. And I think, you know, this conversation and, of course, your book, Upside Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead, is really something that I think HR needs to take a real look at. Because obviously that we're not thinking about the fact that it's going to be better sooner than we think it is. It's not something that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Now, in fairness, and I'm sure you know this, we deal with the now. And the pandemic has certainly changed the fact that we're dealing with the fact that everything is changing on a daily basis. And it kind of feels like Groundhog Day, right? It's somebody calling out, somebody calling in, somebody not coming in. We got a new law, we got a new policy, a new procedure, got a new shot, got a new, all these things that are happening. And we're not necessarily doing strategic thinking. And I think that's a mistake, but that is the reality of today.
How about that? Strategic thinking. Yeah. Well, strategic thinking should be forward thinking, don't you think, Dave?
You would think.
Yeah. And it's funny. But and I would certainly respect and have empathy for anyone in HR right now, because things are tough, because not only are you dealing with all of the diversity issues, and you're dealing with talent issues, and you're dealing with people that are the baby boomers who are exiting, who are walking out the door with intellectual property between their ears that you didn't download to younger people. I mean, it's all kinds of challenges, but you need to plan. And wait and see is not a plan.
Well, it's the old saying, hope is not a strategy. And we're talking with Ken Grombach. He's the author of the book, Upside Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Car is a wreck and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust
and it won't be a fuss. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest has been Ken Grombach. He is the author of the book, Upside Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. We've been talking about generations. We've been talking about demographics. We've been talking about why HR can actually be positive on the fact that there are good things coming. And you heard it from Ken here today. As soon as next year, I don't know about you, but I've already had 2020, which I want to forget. And I tried the 7-day free trial run for 2021, but they wouldn't let me cancel the order. So I can't wait to get to 2022. Yeah. Ken, as we wrap up the show today, when you think about the three things that somebody needs to really take away, or maybe even two key factors of today's show, what are they?
My daughter's in the backseat of our Volvo about 10 years ago, and she's sitting with a friend. I'm driving. And she leans over her friend leans over to her and says, "What does your dad do?" My daughter said, "He's a demographer." And there's always a pause after that, now, because no one knows what it is. People think I make maps. And her friend said, is a demographer, is that like an economist or an accountant? And I said, and I'm up front, I'm excluded. And I said, "Come on, Libby, give her a good answer." She's 15 years old. And Libby leans over to her and says, "No, accountants and economists count money and stuff. My dad counts people, and people are more important than money and stuff." So one of the things that I would absolutely advise your audience to do is count people. And the other one is, and we just mentioned that, was how big is your end user market, and is it getting bigger or smaller? Because that is everything. And for your HR folks out there, I want to encourage you, you can go in my book and find where the talent is going to be. There's going to be a ton of talent in Texas. There's going to be a lot of talent. How you hire the talent and how you train the talent and how you incorporate that talent into your existing labor force is going to be a challenge, but that's why you get the big bucks. So those are the three things.
No, that's great. And, you know, where can somebody get your book?
Okay. You can get the book at kgcdirect.com. That's my site. And I will send you an inscribed and signed copy, or you can just go to Amazon and get it. You know, there are, everything's available on Amazon.
Of course. Amazon's everywhere, as they like to say. You know, you have been a great guest today. You've provided some really good content and some great stories to back up that content. And are you planning a fifth book?
Oh, yeah. No, we have to do a fifth book. In fact, I was just talking to my co-author today. We are discovering new platforms, new models for forecasting markets. And they freak me out. They're so good. So, yes.
Well, you're giving us a little taste of what's to come. Yeah. Ken, it's been great having you on the show today, and I totally appreciate that you took the time, and we'll love having you on as a guest.
My pleasure, my friend. Anytime.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tawny from Verrill. Let's talk about contracts you can enter into to protect your business information and customer relationships. Human resources professionals have to be familiar with using restrictive agreements. Restrictive agreements include non-compete, non-disclosure, confidentiality, and non-solicitation agreements, all of which are used to protect business interests from misappropriation by departing employees. In addition, these agreements need to take into account the responsibility of evaluating whether the company is taking steps to ensure that other portions of the company's policies and procedures are in line with these restrictive agreements. Having a confidentiality agreement in place, but simultaneously not locking up company proprietary information or otherwise sharing it without providing that other individuals must follow those restrictions, are such that the information will likely be found to be outside the scope of the confidentiality provision. For questions regarding the best use of restrictive employment agreements or how to appropriately maintain the confidentiality of trade secrets or other proprietary information, contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Department to further discuss.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.